Hey, welcome to the last Monday in October. Oh, drink it in deeply. No socks today, you guys. This is the last day probably till May, so drink it in deeply. Hey, we're glad you're here in chapel today, and we have been studying the book of Acts all the way through this semester and into the next semester as well, too. And in the book of Acts, we see God's mighty work through his Holy Spirit transforming the lives of men and women all throughout the 28 chapters. Well, the same Holy Spirit that was active in the book of Acts is still active today. And so throughout this semester, we have been asking faculty and staff and students to come and share how God has been working in their lives as well, too. This morning, we had the great privilege to have Professor Gloria Tsang. Gloria is from the History Department. This is her 11th year. She's giving a wave to all of you there. And Gloria's going to share her story of how God has been working in her life. Before she shares, pray with us. Lord, we bless you that you call ordinary people like us to be a part of your extraordinary kingdom purposes here at Hope College, but in this world as well, too. We thank you for our good sister, Gloria. And now, Lord, speak to us through her. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Would you welcome Gloria Tsang?
Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. His name is higher than the rising sun. This morning, I would like to share with you two questions that have been important to me in my spiritual journey. The first question is, who am I? The second question is, how can one believe in anything definite at all in a pluralistic world? More specifically to us here, how can one be certain of the Christian faith which proclaims the one and only true God as revealed in Jesus Christ in the world we live? These questions have come out of some personal experiences, so I will take this time to say a few things about myself. From the age of 3, I spoke 2 languages, neither of which was English. My parents, as you can see in the upper left-hand corner, had a Christian wedding. My grandfather, in the upper right-hand corner, had a Taoist funeral. I was born and raised in Taiwan, a small island of about 14,000 square miles, where about 24 million people lived. Even though it's just off the coast, southeast coast of China, it's not on speaking terms with China for the last 65 years or so, which included my growing years. But I met my first friend from China in high school in America. It was a little bit like an American meeting an Afghan somewhere on Mars. Then I met my first Muslim friend in France during my semester abroad in college. Since then, my professional work has taken me to China in the lower left-hand corner, back to France in the lower right-hand picture, and to England and Scotland. There in the center picture, I was sitting in the highlands of Scotland pondering what I should say for chapel today. Take that with a grain of salt. But the next thing is true. It was in England where a few years ago I met a dear sister in the Lord and who has become a good friend from Ghana. This lady prays as no one I know does, with a serene confidence in God for the big matters and the small details of life. In short, through these experiences, I have come to appreciate deeply the diversity of the world, for our world is all the richer for it. I love the fact that with American friends, we greet each other by a hug. With Francophone friends, we kiss each other on the cheek. And with Chinese friends, we do neither. Go figure. Yet, this diversity has also been a source of confusion. I remember asking myself when I was at your age, who am I? Am I Chinese or American? And more importantly, this Christian business, is it the universal truth that it claims to be? Or is it only a small slither of the rich diversity of the world? It was years before I learned that the answer to the second question was key to the answer to the first question of personal identity. And for the answer to the second question, we need to turn to the historic Christian faith. So let us consider a few of its salient features. The first disciples of Jesus were Jews, like Jesus himself. The early church fathers were not Jews. They were the so-called Gentiles who were steeped in Greco-Roman literature and philosophy. Augustine was a North African. He was well-versed in Greco-Roman literature and philosophy. The Divine Comedy by Dante, which makes some people groan in cultural heritage classes, is filled with classical allusions in which Dante creatively develops his Christian themes in this important work. Fast forward to our own time. For about half a century now, the face of the church is changing yet again. The fastest growth of Christianity has been taking place in the non-Western world. For example, on the African continent and in China. This leads us to the question if the essence of the Christian gospel is not Western European civilization, then what is it? And here, a scholar who is himself a convert to Christianity from Islam has been helpful to me. He said that the gospel had its religious roots in the deeds and actions of a redemptive God whose claim on faith and obedience was absolute and non-negotiable. The deeds and actions of a redemptive God, what are they? As a historian, I'm interested in the deeds and actions of human beings. So it got me thinking, what are the deeds and actions of a redemptive God? I learned in my reading of the gospel accounts, the book of Acts, the Pauline letters, what graduate school did not teach me. That is, the Christian faith is staked on a historical claim that Jesus, a Jew who lived under Roman rule in the first century, died a criminal's death in the reign of the Roman Emperor Tiberius under the judgment of the Roman official Pontius Pilate. And then he came back to life. In all my readings of historical documents, I had never come across such an audacious and incredible claim. And I said to myself, if this were not true, I wanted nothing to do with it. But if true, then the rest follows. Moses had told the Israelites, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Paul said to the Galatians, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith." And then he said to the Philippians, "But your citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." If the resurrection is true, then God, as revealed in the risen Christ, has an absolute and non-negotiable claim on my faith and obedience, then I know who I am. I belong to this very God, and the gospel speaks to my situation as it has spoken to the first century followers of Jesus, to the early church fathers, to Augustine, to Dante, to the reformers and the Catholic reformers, whom the Protestants call the counter-reformers. The gospel speaks to my situation from the personal to the societal to the national to the global. So in response to the first question, who am I? We can say with Bonhoeffer, who wrote from a Nazi prison in his last days, who am I? Who am I? They mock me, these lonely questions of mine. Whoever I am, O God, thou knowest I am thine. For the second question, how can a Christian be certain of his or her faith in a pluralistic world? Well, Hellenistic Christians in the Roman Empire have left us an example. And Christians on the African continent and in China are doing it every day, adapting and applying the gospel to their human situations, embracing and obeying the risen Christ in faith. We are called to do likewise here in Holland, Michigan. Moreover, we share in a glorious heritage. We are citizens of heaven, we belong in God's kingdom, and we partake in the work of the Holy Spirit throughout the ages and around the world. We know we have a part in the heritage passed down to us through the ages. The first generation disciples, the early church fathers, medieval Christian writers, the reformers, the papacy, and in our own short lifetimes. Wherever we go in the world today, Ghana, Uganda, Guatemala, China, Iran, India, you name it, we belong to the body of the risen Christ. A kinship beyond nationality, ethnicity, and language. In short, the story of Acts did not end with chapter 28, with Paul's arrival in Rome. It continues to our day, and we, along with all the followers of the risen Christ around the world today, are included among the story's heroes and heroines. Let us pray. Lord, enlarge our vision of your kingdom. Challenge us to seek out this spiritual kinship wherever we are and wherever we go. Teach us to work out the implications of our faith, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, in our lives and experiences in the real world. Amen.